We will begin our reading at verse 15 of 1 Corinthians 16. I beseech you, brethren, you know the house of Stephanas, that it is the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints, that ye submit yourselves unto such, and to every one that helpeth with us and laboreth. I am glad of the coming of Stephanas and Fortunatus and Achaicus, for that which was lacking on your part, they have supplied. For they have refreshed my spirit and yours. Therefore, acknowledge ye them that are such. Amen. We'll conclude our reading there with simply the reading of the text this morning. And we trust that the Lord will give us some food for our souls today. May the Lord bless His people from His Word and those that are not yet His people, even by giving faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So we are looking at verses 15 through 18. Our present fast-paced, technology-driven culture was foretold by the Apostle Paul as he wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3, in verse 2, for men shall be lovers of their own selves. It's interesting in this high-tech age that many people are enamored with themselves and love to talk about themselves. And many like to do it on a blog, on MySpace, or on Facebook. And many of these people have all they want, or they will soon get it. Google answers all their questions. Money meets all their needs. They honestly say, I am the one who decides how I live. I decide where I go. I decide where I sleep, what I do, and who I love. I know it's good because it works for me. The mindset of 21st century America is selfish, sensual, and seeking constant pleasures. So I say, it is refreshing for us to turn from such a scenario to what we have here. It is so good to turn to the eternal record in God's book to read about people who lived unselfishly, but very happily. They lived unselfishly, but very happily. We have come to the household of Stephanas. And I want to note three things about the household of Stephanas. Number one, their routine or their way of life. Secondly, the respect of which they are worthy. And thirdly, they are a reflection of the Lord Jesus Christ. The household of Stephanas is most interesting to me. I have really been taken with these folks. I had never really met them before. I might have had just sort of a passing acquaintance with them, but I'm so glad to get to know them better. First of all, let's look at their routine or their way of life. Verse 15. I beseech you, brethren, you know, the house of Stephanas, that it is the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. These early converts of Greece, early converts in Corinth, Achaia, describing that region of Greece where the city, the main city, was Corinth. They were early converts. And the scripture says they were addicted to ministering to God's people. In an age of addiction like ours, it is so good to read about people addicted to serving Christ by serving His people. And can we not be thankful for such people? Have we not known people like that? I can look back as a child and think about people who did things in serving the Lord they did not have to do. And they really got no great credit for doing it, but they simply did it. They enjoyed doing it. And I can remember from being a small child, growing up in church, and being around people that did not receive recognition publicly for what they did, and yet they were greatly appreciated for serving others and thus serving the Lord. And can we not appreciate people who even addicted themselves to serving God's people by praying for them? I have to confess that I didn't always appreciate that, because as a worldly minded young person, I didn't really want to be prayed for. Especially I didn't want to be prayed for in regard to Christian service, because I didn't want to do it. And people told me they actually prayed that that would happen. And I didn't appreciate their praying for me in that regard. But now I do. Well, let's look at the household of Stephanas. Stephanas and all his household were active in their duty of generosity and helping the saints however they could. They were busily showing hospitality to many in this active lifestyle they had chosen. With diligence, with cheerfulness, they ministered to the needs of the poor saints. With their substance and with that which was given them by the church, Stephanas' household was continually meeting the needs of others. When they saw a need, they went to work to meet that need without even being asked. In verse 16, we read that you submit yourselves unto such, that is, such who are like the household of Stephanas, and to everyone that helpeth with us and laboreth. How were they laboring? This Greek word for laboreth signifies that Stephanas' family worked even to the point of exhaustion. Wow, that's some labor. This dear household had devoted themselves to supplying temporal and spiritual assistance to all of God's needy people. They were obeying the command that the Lord gave in Galatians 6 and verse 10. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. That household of Stephanas was very angel-like. They may have not looked like angels, but they were very angelic in their ministry. For we read of the holy angels that they themselves are simply ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be the heirs of salvation. Hebrews 1:14. So the household of Stephanas had a most active routine. Their way of life was very unselfish. They were service-minded people. And what a blessing that is. I want you to notice in the second place that such Christians are worthy of respect, the respect of which they're worthy. What does the apostle say to do in regard to them? He says in verse 15, verse 16, that ye submit yourselves unto such. Submit yourself to them. Well, all right. Paul commands respect and submission to these servants of God. They should be highly esteemed for their work's sake. 1 Thessalonians 5:13. It is a great service that they render. Those who seek to encourage others should be encouraged by all the saints. Cooperate with them. Clear obstacles out of their way. Be willing to work under their guidance and their leadership. And even relieve some of their stress by helping them. You see somebody that looked like they're in distress or stress, if you help them, you can relieve some of that. Paul confessed how encouraged he was by the household of Stephanas. He said in the 17th verse, I am glad of the coming of Stephanas and Fortunatus and Achaicus. That which was lacking on your part, they have supplied. For they have refreshed my spirit. And even by refreshing me, they're refreshing you and yours. Therefore, acknowledge ye them that are such. Paul had been grieved by what was going on in Corinth. He was very sad. The report that he had gotten from the household of Chloe and the awful things that were going on in Corinth. But with the coming of Stephanas and his household, Paul heard that matters were better in Corinth. And that brought blessings indeed for Paul. How encouraged he was. Well, pastors and ministers spend a good measure of their time trying to encourage others. Who will encourage them? Of course, the Lord will. But it's also good to have the ministry of encouragement to your pastor. You know how you can encourage others, not just a pastor, how you can encourage others in the congregation? One way to encourage others is even by your attendance and by your fellowship. And by an encouraging word. Well, the most thrilling thing that you can do for your pastor is to walk in truth. It was John, the beloved disciple, who in his third letter, in verse 4, said, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. I'm sure, parents, that you can say that about your children. You have no greater joy to hear that your children walk in truth. It is the same with pastors as it is with parents. We live in an age of selfishness, self-love, and sensuality. And how refreshing it is for us to meet a family like the household of Stephanas. They are a reflection of our Lord Jesus Christ. For what did Jesus say he came into the world for? He tells us in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 20 and verse 28. He says, the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. Oh, what a glorious position he had from all eternity as one of the three persons of the Godhead. As the Apostle Paul instructs the Philippian church to be unselfish, caring more about others than they care about themselves. Suddenly, Christ rises up before him in holy inspiration. And Paul cried out, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Though as God, He had always enjoyed the place of divine exaltation, worship, and glory with God the Father and with God the Holy Spirit. Yet, God the Son was willing to turn from it all for a time to come down here and suffer for His bride in order to bring her to glory. All humanity is naturally concerned about self. What can I do for me? I demand my rights. Why should I not live my life as I choose to live it? The supreme answer is this: Christ has come. God has taken on the form of a slave to live for us and to go all the way to Calvary's cross to die for us. And I say this is a grand truth, but even such a grand truth as Christ's sacrifice cannot change man until by grace that soul is brought down into the dust to see Christ and His work on the cross. What did old Watts say? When I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, my richest gain I count but loss and pour contempt on all my pride. When we really see, when we see personally that I am a sinner, lost, condemned, undone, helpless, and that nothing but God, the Son, on that cross can save me, then I'm humbled. When I truly see it, by the working of the Spirit of God, when I by faith see that without Him, without His sacrifice, I am hopeless and helpless, then I am humbled. And once I'm truly humbled, then no one is worse than I am. When I'm humbled, I begin to see myself as the chief of sinners. Therefore, any other person, I don't care who that is, any other person is better than I am. Only the cross can make us realize this. So nothing but the cross can cause me to look on others as better than myself. Paul said to prefer others, to look on their things, to consider them better than yourself. That is totally against nature. You can't do that. It is only by viewing Him who came to minister and not to be ministered unto that we get relief from ourselves and our selfishness. Christ came to give His life in exchange for many. He rescues us from the darkest curse to raise us up to the brightest possible glory by the voluntary sacrifice of Himself. His was a life of giving and the giving of a life. No service can be greater than redeeming sinners by dying for them. But no ministry is lower than dying in the place of guilty, condemned, criminal sinners. There is nothing, there is no place so lowly as dying in the place of guilty, condemned sinners. But there is no greater service that can be given than redeeming sinners by dying for them. Christ is the greatest who is willing to be accounted as the least. The servant, the bond slave of all. Not just to die, but to die as a servant, as a slave. Christ and the house of Stephanus have something else in common besides the fact of their unselfishness and their sacrificial way.
both of them were all out for God. The last story of Dr. John Cowell, who was used of the Lord in a great work that God did in this country, in this very area of North Alabama, beginning at Central Baptist Church back in the 30s and 40s. Dr. John Cowell's life was published by Moody Press back in the 40s, and the title of the book was All Out for God. Well, I tell you, the Lord Jesus Christ and the house of Stephanus were all out for God. In the job of serving, they were not half-hearted. They were not halfway. The household of Stephanus was addicted to ministering to needs. Our Savior Christ was so intent on serving His Father and saving souls that His disciples remembered that it was written of Christ, "The zeal of thine house hath eaten me up." John 2:17. Christ was completely consumed in and with the work that the Father had given Him to do. Like Stephanus, He was addicted to serving God. We live in an age of technology, and much of it is used for good purposes. Some of it is used for self-love, for self-worship. May God give us grace to turn our gaze away from earth's vain display to the great matters of God and eternity. May we realize unselfishly something of the needs of others around us. And once we realize something of the need of others around us, let us do something about those that are in need. Stephanus' household didn't have to be drafted. When they saw a need, they began to work and to supply that need. And I say this, you will never live for the good of others. You will only live for yourself until you learn Christ. Who Christ is, what He has done in redeeming us, only by seeing Him in true faith can you be broken and humbled. Then other people will seem to be worthy and deserving of your humble service. Oh, that God the Lord would cause you to see. Oh, that the Lord would open eyes to even realize what eternity is, who God is. Jesus said, "This is life eternal, that they might know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom Thou hast sent." May the Lord bless His truth to all our hearts today, for Jesus' sake. Let us pray. O God, our Father, we do thank Thee for giving such a wonderful Savior. We thank Thee for the household of Stephanus that has set such a good example in being addicted to ministering to the saints, to serving others. We thank Thee, Lord Jesus, that Thou didst come into this world not to be ministered to, but to minister and to give Thy life a ransom for many. We thank Thee, Lord. Accept our worship. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.